Help me believe, because oh, how I want to believe that the Postal Service sometimes put the best interest of the employees up front, but I'm really not seeing that. Let's get into our podcast. Hey, let's start off with revisiting that circus we went to the other day called the town meeting. Where the plant manager spoke to us about if clock rings are missing, he's going to annotate it on a 1017A and take action on it. Well, nothing kind of makes me laugh more than when a suit gets in front of the employees and attempts to impress them with postal knowledge and they spew incorrect information. So what I'm going to do is remember the conversation the plant manager said, if you're missing clock rings, he wants it annotated on a 1017A. Well, let me just explain to you what a 1017A is. You see, here's one of those instances where postal management thinks they can sound intelligent and we're just going to take it at face value. Well, unfortunately for the management in Columbus, the branch president is very well versed in what it is they're trying to do.
Yo, Ken, talk to him.
1017A. First of all, a 1017A by nomenclature is a time disallowance record. This form is used by management to record disallowed time. Procedures for completing this form are in section 146 of the F21 Time and Attendance Manual. 1017A is used when supervisors can verify, not surmise or not think, but they can verify that you are actually not working while on the clock. And let me tell you something, and I say this on a podcast for all to hear. If the Postal Service thinks that because your badge was locked up and you cannot get access to it, that they're going to bring discipline on any employee, clerk or mail handler, with the sole documentation being a 1017A, they will lose that every time. And if they take further steps in order to dock your pay or not pay you because you could not get access to a locked cabinet, then that is what you call a labor charge for wages. So when you stand in front of employees and you tell them what you're going to do, and what you're going to do is contrary to postal rules and regulation, then as a branch president, I am obligated to let the employees know.
To tell them why you mad, son.
Since I don't have access to the grievance
procedure. Yo, tell them why you mad.
And I don't have access because our local president still has me under suspension going on over 2.5 years now. But nonetheless, listen, folks, if you take the time to go to the F21 time and attendance manual, and just Control F for complete document search for the 1017 A and B. Page one is the actual 1017. Page two will give you instructions on how to complete it. And listen to this note that's on the bottom of the 1017A.
Talk to him, Mr. Hodge.
Only when a supervisor observes or has reason to know,
let him know
that an employee did not work while on the clock, may the supervisor disallow any such time that the employee recorded.
While on the clock.
The supervisor must document the basis for each disallowance.
Whoa, drop it just like that, Mr. Hodge.
Just by definition, is contradictory to what the plant manager wants to do. He wants you put on a 1017.
Can't do it.
Because you don't have a clock ring. And the actual purpose of a 1017 is once you're on the clock working,
tell them,
then they use this form.
Say it ain't so.
So again, good try, plant manager, with the magic trick. But unfortunately, we see through it, as you like to refer to me, the suspended branch president of the National Postal Mail Handlers Union.
And should you not forget, I got a little postal knowledge also.
So I'm going to let the employees know that that was just a bunch of fluff. Again, that was just a scare tactic. And takes me right back to the whole you want survey teams and communication and web teams, and you're trying to motivate people into filling out this postal survey. Again, when you motivate people with trickery, eventually you're going to be found out. And I hope that drops the completion of surveys sent in another 10 or 12 points. You see, this is what the agency is becoming very good at. Tricking you into assisting them in taking advantage of you as union members. Yeah, I know that sounds a little convoluted, but that's how I view it now. And I do say now, because that wasn't always my view. So what I want to say is, with respect to, he wants to take, he being the acting plant manager, threatening discipline for missing clock rings. Well, now I turn my attention over to the union personnel who listens. Because, and I'm pretty sure most of you, let's just bet 99% of you, are not familiar with 1017 A's and B's. Now, I only say that because some of us have had to use that form quite extensively. So to the union, I say, when they start to, because again, if the plant manager put that word out, he wants that done, then the supervisors in Columbus, knowing that it's wrong, they still have to do that. Well, excuse me, they're still going to do that. They don't have to. You can make a conscientious decision and let the plant manager know he's incorrect. That would pretty much be your postal kiss of death. So I say again, they have to do that. But stewards, be aware that when you receive those 1017 A's with multiple names on them, first thing you might want to do is throw it out for being procedurally defective. A 1017A is intended that entire 1017A is for one employee. Take a moment, look at how that form is structured. Across the top, you have the name of the employee. That's not a gang list. Okay, so I'm simply saying, let's get in front or let's get on the right side of this, because you, if you work in Columbus, you know, doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. When that acting plant manager says that's what he wants done, then with the limited skill set that most of the supervisors have, they are putting all of it towards what he wants done. So let's get in front of this 1017 issue before it is a bigger problem. Again, 1017s are not group sheets. Every employee has their own 1017. Now see, if you actually had supervisors in areas, every supervisor who has an area should have a book with a 1017A and a 1017B in it for every employee, and hope they never have to use it, but it should be prepared. I'm just saying. And supervisors, please don't, I mean, again, open your eyes, do a little research. Please don't start trying to discipline four or five employees with a 1017A as your document because they missed the clock ring. Or, I say to you, have a friendly conversation with your plant manager and ask him to show you an example of how to do that, because that's wrong, and you're going to walk down that street of wrongness knowing that it's wrong. And what do you think that's going to do with the relationship, work relationship, between you and the people you are directly responsible for supervising? Not going to be a real nice one for you. But see, I think because people make decisions for you and they don't have to work in the same work area with our employees, I think they're not thinking decisions through.
This is strong.
And again,
union if you, conversation.
If you're going to stress that strong supervisor leadership, which is kind of nonsense, my real reason for addressing it on my podcast is because, excuse me, is because that stress is going to trickle down
Ronnie
to
Reagan.
A very negative or confrontational work environment for the employees, and that's my concern.
And when I say employees, I mean all postal employees until I'm elected, then it becomes 98% mail handler employees.
So we have to stay on top of things. Sometimes when we're brought into audiences and we're going to be lectured to, it might not be a bad thing if we develop the little note-taking capability.
180
sometimes,
degrees,
new again, direction, a really
Facebook page,
a decent presentation.
Join it.
You might believe that dirty water is just as good for you to drink as clean water.
Water.
Depending on the presentation, until you have time to think it through and filter it through, and you will realize that dirty water is just dirty water. And I'm going to close the podcast out this morning with a fact, a statement, a challenge to the local union in Columbus, Ohio. Hey, listen, and again, this can be a friendly challenge. This can be a challenge where you benefit and your members begin to regain respect for you, because that's not what we have right now. And the challenge is simply, why don't you pull the overtime alert roster for whatever section or whatever tour you work on for the MHAs? And listen to me, union stewards. Every single day, every single time, an MHA has over 8 hours of work and someone on your overtime list has not been offered overtime, please file and distribute that money back to the overtime desire list. Now, again, that's going to cost you some tedious legwork going through the paperwork, identifying the MHA on over 8 hour day, and then establishing a rotation to pay overtime desire list. But I think if you put that kind of work in right now, that your members would really appreciate it. I'm just saying. And to the union in Columbus, Ohio, listen, do not wait for anyone, any member, to file an Article 8 grievance. Don't wait for them to do it. Do it the Kenny Hodge way. Have each chief steward pull that data and calculate that data and take care of that. So the first time an employee or a member hears about Article 8 violation, they hear about it with a resolved piece of paper saying, hey, guess what? While you were doing what your job, while you were doing what you do, the union was doing what it does. And without any effort on your part, here's a resolve for 6 hours of overtime. See, that's what, again, we did that in my administration. And again, you might want to try that. Never mind the fact that Kenny Hodge did it. You might want to try it because it's effective. It gives members confidence in the union. Now, just so we keep it jovial, I have to say, you're not going to be able to do that as well as my administration got it done, because your fact checkers will never have the meticulous attention to detail that the fact checkers on the Kenny Hodge administration displayed on an everyday basis. I'm just going to put that out there. Don't be mad. I'm only being real right now. Shout out to my whole administration, to my main dog, Brother D. He never left me.
I gotta go.
Shout out
Top
to W.
Secret G15.
Shout out to S.
I can't divulge the names.
Shout out to J.
Of my stewards, man.
Stewards that I bought.
That's pretty
on
messed up.
When I came on,
they all
I
been
wanted
disavowed.
In my podcast this morning by saying to you, when the election results are over and I am elected local president, you will definitely be invited to resume your position. And let's help get our local, I'm sorry, and help get Columbus Branch on track and headed in the right direction. It's Kenny Hodge with a Tuesday morning podcast.